How's it going, everybody? This is Stephen Klotz with Klotz Talk. It's definitely been a while, like 4 weeks, I think. There's been a lot of crazy stuff going on over here. Just got a little puppy, and she is a handful, so apologize for the delay. So, what I'd actually like to go over today is the Cloverfield Paradox, which many people watch the Super Bowl. I know it was a while ago, but during one of the commercials, there was a commercial for the new movie, The Cloverfield Paradox, by J.J. Abrams, and everybody was kind of shocked, and especially at the end when it said, we'll be on Netflix tonight after the big game, which is like a huge deal. It wasn't supposed to be released till, I think, later in March, maybe? So I'm just going to go over that movie, why a lot of people didn't like it, why I love it, and how it's connected to the original first and second Cloverfield, I guess. So this marks the technically third Cloverfield movie in the, I guess, trilogy, if you want to call it that. So for those of you who don't know, I'm just going to run through brief summaries of these movies. So bear with me and bear with the sump pump because it's raining a lot and it's going to go off sometimes. So, for the first Cloverfield movie, this was released in 2008. It stars T.J. Miller, who you know from the horrible Emoji movie. He was the main voice. And he is Deadpool's friend in Deadpool. I don't know what his name is. So, in the first movie, it stars T.J. Miller, and he's with a group of other friends in New York, and they're enjoying a going-away party for their friend, who's actually moving to Japan. And a creature the size of a skyscraper basically shows up and starts destroying the city, and they have to leave their party, and they kind of just go through the city. Of course, it's a love story. One of the guys that was moving to Japan is actually trying to find, I think, Mary, the girl that he is in love with that actually left the party before the monster attacked. And was all upset. So, of course, he had to go make it up to her in this situation. So, this is a found footage kind of film, which is really cool, actually. And this was in 2008. Like I said, that's when all of these cool found footage movies were coming out between 2008 and 2010, I guess. So, the friends, obviously, T.J. Miller's recording this the whole time. And it's really cool to see it from this point of view, this huge monster attacking New York. Now, the title, Cloverfield, has always kind of been a mystery. In the end, he kind of ends up in a clover field. Just a huge field of clovers, obviously. And a lot of people just nickname this monster Clovey. But there's a lot of really cool things in this movie that still make it so that you can talk about it to this day. You know, what is it, 10 years later? Yeah, 10 years later, people are still talking about it. There's still questions that are unanswered, even after two more movies. So, the next movie is 10 Cloverfield Lane. This came out in 2016, so 8 years later. So this stars Mary Elizabeth Winstead. Winstead? So, in the beginning, she got in a car accident. She passes out, obviously. She wakes up to find herself underground in a bunker with two guys, one of them being John Goodman. The other guy is a really good actor that this is the first movie I've seen him in, and I feel bad I can't remember his name at all. But she's kind of like in a prison cell, basically, is what it looks like when she wakes up. Kind of like she's in a Saw movie, and I think she's chained up on her ankle. And I think she might have a couple bruises, but she wakes up really confused and in this crappy bed in this really weird room, and the door is like locked tight, and John Goodman comes in and tells her, you were in a car accident, and I know I saw you, and I saw that there was something going on outside, some kind of chemical attack, so I took you here into my shelter. And that's when you're kind of confused, like, is this guy crazy? Because he took her in. I mean, she was unconscious, but still, against her will, she definitely wouldn't have wanted that if she was conscious, and put her in a cell instead of, you know, keeping her out in this bunker with them. He just kind of locked her away, even though he states it was just chemical attack. So really, the whole movie is just like mystery after mystery, question after question, and your mind is going back and forth. Like, is this guy crazy? locking her up like this? Is he lying about outside, or is he actually being serious? And there are times where Mary Elizabeth Winstead goes up the stairs of the bunker and gets to the top and looks out the window, and she sees, like, there's not a lot of people. And then at one point, this lady actually comes up and is banging on the glass, and she looks all nasty, and I think she dies or something right in front of her. I don't know. But either way, that's when you kind of start leaning toward, okay, maybe he's not crazy. Maybe there's actually something going on. And then there's also that other third question in the back of your mind the whole time. How is this a Cloverfield movie? Kidnapping or chemical attack? Neither of those have to do with Cloverfield. So I guess it's really not till the end that you kind of understand how it connects. Kind of. It relates a little more to a monster movie, but it's still, you have no idea what it has to do with Cloverfield. So a lot of people didn't like that. I just thought, okay, maybe it's just kind of adding another piece to the original Cloverfield, saying how, you know, this was after that monster struck New York City when 10 Cloverfield Lane, I think they were in Texas. She was outside of Houston, Texas. And there's, you know, other kinds of these aliens taking over Texas. And I thought it was really cool. I kind of like all that mystery stuff going on. And I love still not having questions answered at the end of a movie, as irritating as it can be. I love it. So the Cloverfield Paradox, this is the one that just came out after the Super Bowl. This was originally called The God Particle, and it, like I said, it wasn't set to release, I think, actually till October 2017, and then it got delayed to, I think it got delayed straight to March, maybe, but either way, it got delayed once or twice, originally set to release in March, towards the end of March, I think, and the original plot was that there is a crew of astronauts in a space station in space, and they're trying to do something in space that can solve an energy crisis happening on Earth, where they're actually running out of energy, and costs for everything are just rising, and everyone's going crazy, and so definitely a crisis on Earth. So these astronauts have to go up into space and do something to kind of bring back a unlimited energy source, and then give that information to Earth, and they can do it themselves, something like that. So either way, they're trying to solve this crisis, and in the midst of that, as they're trying to actually do this, they fire off this energy cannon laser beam thing that's trying to get the unlimited energy source. I'm completely butchering this. But as they do that, it seems to all go well, and then they basically look out the window, and the Earth is gone. That's the basis plot of this movie, the basic plot of this movie. So either way, it sounds kind of cool. So they have to figure out where Earth went, what's going on, did they figure out this energy deal, where are the people of Earth, are they, like, did the Earth actually blow up or something, or did they move somewhere else across space, across the galaxy or the universe, or did Earth move somewhere else? It's kind of a cool. It's reaching, but it's a pretty cool sci-fi idea. So what happened was J.J. Abrams actually came into this project, and he was making this movie. I think they actually shot most of it. And then kind of at the last second, J.J. Abrams was like, oh, you know what? We could actually tie this into Cloverfield pretty nicely. So he really just threw in some of his Cloverfield tricks and put the word Cloverfield in there a couple times. There's some crazy guy at the beginning talking about the Cloverfield Paradox. I think it was a book that he wrote saying the monsters were going to be released from the sea and everything like that. So that's when you kind of get the connection to the original. Because if you didn't look at an actual online website that launched with the original Cloverfield movie, it described how this oiling company was actually drilling for oil in the ocean, and that's what woke up the monster in the original one. So, but I'll get more into that in a little bit. So he put his own little Cloverfield things in here, and I won't spoil it, but at the end you find out that, yep, this is definitely a Cloverfield movie. But I'll just run through it really quick. So, like I said, the Earth is suffering from an energy crisis. So as a result of that, obviously people are going crazy. War is, you know, everybody's on the brink of war. Every country with the other country wants to go to war with each other, and somehow that's going to solve things. So a potential solution sees a team of experts flown from Earth, astronauts, out to a space station, where they will use a particle accelerator, that's what it's called, to tap into an unlimited source of energy. So the main lead, Ava, is she's leaving behind her loving husband, and unfortunately a tragedy that saw her two young children die. She was actually at her home with her husband and two kids, and she was trying to make some kind of machine that would make unlimited energy for their household so that they could all survive together. And I guess what happened was this machine actually kind of caught on fire, or just exploded immediately, and instantly killed her children, and her husband were just fine. So her and the crew that she went up there with, they worked tirelessly in an attempt to save humankind. I think they actually fire off this particle accelerator like three times, and it's super difficult to get ready to go, and it just takes up a lot of time and energy when it goes off and fails. It's like super stressful. So the process obviously takes longer than expected, and when it seems like they might have finally cracked it, they get all excited. They're like, yes, we did it. They're celebrating. I think one of the actual funny guy in the crew, I don't remember his name, he looks out the window and he's like, okay, guys, where's Earth? It's gone. And they all go to the window and they're all looking out every window that they can. They're looking at the cameras that are aimed right at the space station, trying to see from every angle that they can. And they actually realize that, yeah, Earth is literally gone. So I'm going to get a little bit into spoilers here, just for anybody who cares. So as they are trying to figure out what's going on, the ship actually, I think, went through a little bit of damage. So one guy, the funny guy, goes to repair it. Everybody else is kind of sitting down like, what's going on? Where's Earth? What are we going to do? Did we get the unlimited energy deal figured out? And there's other people that are just like, who cares? We need to figure this out first. So they're going through this, and I think they hear someone screaming in the wall, and they're like, okay, everybody's accounted for. I don't recognize that voice. What's going on? They pry open the walls, and there is a girl, a blonde, short-haired girl that's like in the wall, and there's wiring just going right through her, and it literally looks like she just kind of popped into place there. And everything just was inside her. It was pretty crazy. So they had to cut through all the wiring and take her out. And obviously this movie takes place in 2028, I think. So they had to take her out and they put her on a bed. And so obviously, like I said, it's in the future. So they have all this cell tissue rebuilding technology, and they fix her up and get all that wiring out of her. And she wakes up and they're like, okay, who are you? What's going on? And she was obviously confused as well. And she said, you know, you guys are my crew. I don't know what you're talking about. You should know who I am. And she named off all of the crew members, but nobody knew who she was. She knew everybody, actually, except for the girl that had the same job as her. And that's when you're kind of catching on. So she then goes on to say how they were actually going through the same process, her and the crew. And then she just kind of poofed into the wall and had everything going through her until they got her out, which sounds horrible. So they kind of piece it together and they kind of realize that she is from an alternate dimension, and the original crew that you've been watching in this movie are from a different dimension. So they're separate dimensions, but partially the same crew. So, but they're still different. It's because they're in alternate universes. It's super, super complicated, but I love it. So this short blonde hair girl is actually talking to Ava, and Ava's like, so, you know, do you really know me? And she said, yeah, I do. And Ava's like, well, you know, maybe not the real me. And she said, yeah, I know you and your husband and your kids. And she kind of starts to tear up, and the blonde girl's like, yeah, you know, she said something about her kids, how she loves her kids. And Ava's like, what do you mean? You know, they're dead. And she said, no, they're actually still alive. At least in my universe back on Earth, they're still alive. And that's when Ava starts freaking out and she's thinking, you know, I got to get back to that Earth, the Earth that she's talking about, so I can be with my kids. And that's when she goes to the captain, and he's like, no, that's going to mess things up. You're going to get there. And she also said that her alternate self was there, so she's going to see her alternate self, and that's really going to mess everything up. Anybody knows that. That would screw everything up. But she doesn't care. She wants to see her kids. She's like, you know, if you had a chance to see your kids who are dead, wouldn't you take it? No matter what? And the captain's like, yeah, okay, just, you know, take a ship with the other girl from that actual Earth, and you guys can go back, and we'll figure this out. So it kind of goes off the rails from there, and I won't spoil anything else. But a lot of people are freaking out because this movie was made to be something else. JJ came in, threw his Cloverfieldness into it, and people got really upset because it didn't work, and the writing was just so sloppy because you could tell that it was changed at the last minute. I disagree, and I'm glad I actually didn't know this before going into this movie. I didn't know any of that. I just thought it was just another Cloverfield movie, and that's it. So I'm actually glad I knew that. So I went into it just thinking a Cloverfield movie. It's in space. Awesome. I love it. It had kind of that interstellar feel of these alternate dimensions, which I really love. And I thought it was really good. And I thought the ending was super awesome, and it tied it all together, kind of. I had to look up a couple videos explaining how they were all connected and what everything meant, but I still loved it either way. It was awesome. And it kind of sucked to see all those reviews, and I think it's currently at 17% Rotten Tomatoes, which is horrible. But, yeah, a lot of people didn't like it. It really didn't. They just said it was sloppy and badly written, and other than that, the special effects are awesome. The story, at least, is cool. I love it. I really don't have anything bad to say about it. I didn't notice any sloppy writing. Maybe I'm just not good at noticing that, but I didn't really notice that at all. I thought it was great. So, also, a lot of people were just confused. Like, how is this a Cloverfield movie? Even though, like I said, at the end, you should know, but it still wasn't enough connection. They're in the future, but then at the end, you see something, and you're like, okay, well, how would that there if 20 years ago in this universe there, it was the same? It's super confusing. Super confusing. I think that's another reason why a lot of people were upset. They just didn't understand. So basically, when they fired off this particle accelerator, it basically shot them into another dimension, and that was not theirs, obviously. And they were shot into a dimension with the same Earth, but a different Earth with the same people, but different people that just went different ways and did different things and are just different. It's super confusing, but I still love it though. So they're in different dimensions, alternate worlds, basically. That's a better way of saying it. And in the original Cloverfield, it was 20 years ago, but it's an alternate universe. It's another world, still a different time, but it doesn't matter. Time is just time. It's a different universe. So when this particle accelerator was shot off, when they were shot into a different universe, these monsters were kind of woken up from basically different situations, I guess. So the original Cloverfield movie woke up from the oil driller waking it up in the ocean, and then you got 10 Cloverfield Lane, where they were actually in actual ships. It was like different kind of aliens. So that's another alternate universe that happened because of this. But still in a different time. We actually don't know for sure when 10 Cloverfield Lane took place, but it came out 2016. It seemed like it was up to that modern-esque, so you kind of get the idea. Maybe it's current 2016, around there. Either way, you can kind of tell it's later than Cloverfield, and obviously before Cloverfield Paradox. And then you've got Cloverfield Paradox in 2028, where at the end, you see something from the original Cloverfield, so that's really what I don't understand. Maybe it was still on that alternate Earth, but it woke up in a different way. I don't know. That's still where I'm kind of at a loss, and maybe that's actually a legit question that is still in the back of other people's minds that we don't really know yet for sure. And I was actually kind of excited because there was a Q&A with J.J. Abrams and a couple people from the cast, and then I think director, maybe, because I know J.J. produced it, something like that. And it lasted like maybe 10 or 15 minutes, it seemed like, and no really good answers were, or questions were answered. There were so many questions in the live chat that I was seeing, like, yes, finally we're going to get some answers. And then I think they asked like one that, and then JJ kind of answered it as like another question, you know, he kind of curved it off. Like he didn't want to answer it, which kind of sucked. Definitely not what I expected. So with 10 Cloverfield Lane, I just want to get back to that really quick. There are a lot of people that were really upset with that because they had no idea how it connected. Yeah, there's aliens at the end and there's this huge ship and there's some running around on the ground that are smaller. So there's aliens, which is that Cloverfield-esque, but you don't know how it connects to the original because they're not the same at all. Yeah, there were those little things in the original that were falling off of the very tall monster, but those seemed a lot smaller. I don't know. They seemed a lot smaller. There are so many theories on Reddit. There's actually a subreddit called Cloververse. If you want, you look it up. It's insane. There's so many people still posting stuff, theories about the original, even. Some people don't even touch on 10 Cloverfield Lane and Cloverfield Paradox. They still have questions about the original. A lot of people have theories about how all of them are connected, and definitely some really good explanations out there. So in a nutshell, Paradox, the situation on Paradox that they did, it opened up paths, supposed paths for these monsters to come into these different dimensions that we see in these different movies, these alternate universes. So a lot of people are confused with this timeline, and when they get confused, they get upset and they don't like it. There's some stuff that doesn't really make sense with Paradox, but that's just because it wasn't really sloppily written. It was just kind of sloppily prepared. And there's a couple things there, but I still, for some reason, think it's a perfect movie. And it's just really great. It really fits in with the other two somehow in my mind. I can't even say it in words, but it fits. So yeah, I actually really liked that movie. I really did. I know there's a lot of negative stuff going on about that movie. There's a lot of negativeness towards it, but I really enjoyed it. If you take it for what it is, I think it's really great. If they left Cloverfield out of it, yeah, it'd still be a good movie, I think. I don't think this made it any worse. I think it just made it better for us Cloverfield nerds. But yeah, that's my thoughts on that. So thank you for listening, and hopefully I will see you next week.